You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Canteen New Zealand is a non-profit organisation that supports young people going through cancer, whether it is their own diagnosis or someone in their family. The main goal is to ensure no young person goes through cancer alone. You may have heard of them, you may not have. But those who have heard of them, and those who have been supported by them, will be the first to say how much of a difference they've made throughout one's cancer journey. There are a number of stories on their website from people who have been supported by Canteen NZ and what exactly that support did for them. You may also have heard Canteen is facing major funding shortages. It was reported in the Herald at the end of November. In that story, the Herald states,
New Zealand youth cancer charity Canteen is facing a major shake-up with redundancies nationwide. The charity is proposing a total restructure in order to ensure financial viability and the continued provisional support to young people living with cancer. In a statement released to the Herald, the board said in recent months it had become clear its current financial situation was no longer tenable. The organisation believes there are more cost-effective ways it can deliver services and multiple opportunities to support more young people.
Staff reported on the matter last week, going into a little more depth by reaching out to someone who had lost their job as part of the restructure.
Teenage cancer patients will now have to call Australian counsellors following a major restructure at charity Canteen. More than half of the organisation's jobs were cut and 8 offices closed. Calls will now be diverted to Canteen counsellors across the ditch. An employee who lost her job through the restructure said support for young New Zealanders with cancer should not be sent offshore. That's because of our cultural diversity, because of the commitment we have to the Treaty of Waitangi that Australia doesn't have, its Taranaki Branch Youth Support Coordinator Kelly Skedden-Tainui said.
This is something I will return to, but stuff continues.
Canteen Board Chairwoman Carol Scholes says it's a difficult time for Canteen's dedicated employees and youth workers. However, the restructure is critical to enable Canteen to become financially viable and to continue to provide services to young people that are in need of our support.
Canteen does indeed rely on donations and grants. Those donations and grants, their income, has declined over the past 7 years. The revenue in the 2017-2018 financial year was the lowest in the past 9 years. In order to deal with this decline, the organisation has covered their deficits. This is when the money going out is greater than the money coming in, with their own reserves. This means covering it with their own savings. Looking into the next financial year, the board decided continuing on as they are would not be viable. In fact, they forecasted that within 6 months of 2019, they would have run out of cash and therefore would have to cease to exist. This information was suddenly given to staff and members at a meeting called on the 26th of November. All staff, including 17 youth workers across the country and 7 staff working nationally, were called to attend the meeting. It was communicated that urgent and substantial cuts to costs needed to be made. 4 propositions for possible changes that the board had been considering were presented, including 1. Strengthening Canteen New Zealand to remain an independent organisation to deliver services to our membership. 2. Forming a formal relationship with Child Cancer Foundation. 3. Forming a formal relationship with Canteen Australia. Or 4. Winding up Canteen New Zealand. It seems that the decision has been made to follow through with option 3. Somebody present at the meeting, who I will not name due to possible legal action taken by the board, was able to tell me that
a takeover from Canteen Australia was proposed. 3/4 of the staff found out that they would most likely be losing their jobs. Not only would all branches except Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch shut down, but a model change was to occur where their support roles left over would be split. Half the youth workers were to remain to run events, programs and activities, and social workers would be hired to do one-to-one work and assessments. There will be no direct line manager until April, and then they will be covering the whole country. We have no safety net for our practice in regards to risk with young people, i.e. suicide, self-harm and abuse. It's important for all youth workers to have a practice manager to ensure the work they are doing is best in risky situations. That has been taken away until April. These youth workers will no longer be allowed to have meaningful and needed conversations and interventions with the young people and new people based on the lack of lack of a certification that Canteen Australia requires. We were told that youth work is not professional enough, and also that Canteen Australia was more clinical and we needed to be more like them. The young people at the following AGM were also told this about their staff and work. Members argued that they came to Canteen because it wasn't clinical. We entered a consultation period for staff only. The board refused to have consultation from the youth. We are an incorporated society and the members should hold power in decision making. We are also supposedly a youth-led organization, and choosing not to engage with the young people is a direct insult to the empowerment and respect we on the ground level give our youth.
Essentially, what is being proposed is partnering up with Canteen Australia. A number of possible problems arise from this. First and foremost, the loss of physical branches in cities throughout New Zealand and the loss of experienced and qualified youth workers from the organisation. Redundancies which were made apparent just before the holiday season. Also, the difference in culture between the organisations. And finally, the transition to a strongly online support presence where those young people would have to reach out for help and support through the internet. On this matter, the person present at the meeting stated,
young people geographically isolated have less access to the peer support, medical care and resources needed for best outcomes during distress. All young people now have access to Canteen Australia's online counsellors and forums. However, many in the regions don't have reliable access to the internet, or culturally this is not the way they and their whānau support and connect with others.
This is an interesting point to make. In my team's research for the story, we found in the Adolescent and Young Adult Advisory Group's report back to the Cancer Treatment Advisory Group in 2013, a finding regarding Māori and Pacifica youth specifically. Here I quote from the report.
Every year, 180 to 200 adolescent and young adult New Zealanders are told that they have cancer. Survival rates for New Zealand adolescents lag behind international comparisons by 7%. This means in the past 10 years, 49 more 15 to 19-year-old New Zealanders have died of cancer than we would expect. 34, which is 69% of these deaths, were Māori or Pacific youths, even though they account for less than 30% of the cancer diagnosis in this age group.
The report does also state the Minister of Health, in response to this finding, announced additional funding over the next 2 years for AYA cancer care to determine and direct improvements in cancer services for AYAs. So back to Canteen NZ. On the 10th of December, it was reported the Taranaki branch would be closing for good at the end of that week. That same weekend, it was reported the East Cape regional branch was closing, with quotes saying it was a massive loss and devastating for the community. As well as this, there was the possibility that young people would be further at risk. Hamilton, Waikato, Tauranga, Hastings, Manawatu, Dunedin, Northland, West Coast and Nelson branches are also closed and no longer allowed to be serviced by visiting staff. Their staff have been made redundant. Those same staff who are spoken of by members with great love, admiration and gratitude. And yet, in some areas, support has been decreasing for some time now. The shortage of resources has already been felt by many. It is clear this is a complicated situation, and there are many important voices that need to be heard. Firstly, I wanted to understand the proposed restructure better, so I got in touch with Carol Scholes, Chair of the Canteen New Zealand Board. I was very curious as to why certain measures had not been taken earlier in this matter, given they were aware of the financial situation. Carol only came on board this year and made it clear that she could not speak for the previous board. Essentially, the current board inherited this situation. They had to make a call on what to do about it. Here's Carol. Can you tell us just what is happening with these changes?
Canteen is in a really dire financial situation. We're in a situation where every month there are new charities being formed and the funding dollar in New Zealand isn't going up. And so there's more and more competition for that funding dollar. Our particular service delivery model that we've been delivering, which is face-to-face support to Canteen members, is a really expensive model. And so... our costs have been going up and the funding that we've been getting in is going down. Effectively, over the last few years, we've been funding that difference with our savings, and we've run out of savings. And so we're now in the position where if we don't move really quickly, Canteen hasn't got enough money to continue.
The picture that I've managed to garner over the past couple of days, it seems that this decision was made fairly suddenly over this year, right? But what I'm seeing is that the financial troubles, you've known about that for a long time. Why wasn't something done earlier, or why wasn't there a longer consultation process and so on?
In April, we started asking for the financial positions and trying to understand what was the budget, what was our delivery model, what we were, how we currently, what were our core services, all of that sort of stuff. That took 3 months for us to start to understand and get the information, because unfortunately what we have in Canteen is not necessarily really good information systems. So a lot of the questions we were asking were not easy for them to come up with the answers. So it took a few months for those answers to start coming in. As we got those answers coming in, we realised that actually we were in a position where the proposed model that we were working with wasn't going to work. Canteen had decided to invest in a new fundraising model for this year, and over the first half of the year, we were waiting to see if that fundraising model would work. Mm. As the new board started to ask questions about that and the assumptions behind that fundraising model, we discovered that actually, we started to see that it wasn't actually playing out the way everybody had hoped, and so the money wasn't going to come in quick enough. And so then, by October, we had found out that there was clearly the income that was budgeted was just not coming the same way, plus our costs hadn't decreased at all. So we then realised, once we started playing that out, that by February, if we didn't make a change before February, then we would be having to close our doors by June. So it ended up happening very fast, because it was literally, we have to cut back staff and cut back those regional offices really quickly.
So it was a matter of you making a drastic decision before a drastic action had to occur in the closing entirely.
What we realised, what we have managed to do is we have made the restructure now before we end up in debt. So we don't owe money, and we are able to meet all of our financial commitments to our staff. But if we had even left it till January, then we would not have had the cash to be able to pay our staff all of their entitlements. So, we do have a building, and we investigated this year, could we get a mortgage on that building? But our cash flow was so poor that we couldn't get a mortgage on our building without having a guarantor for that mortgage. So we were in this position where our cash flow is just not enough to be able to keep to meet our commitments. And from a solvency point of view, the board's responsibility is to make sure that we are able to continue, and we work, not on a cash flow basis.
I do want to talk about the fact that people are going to lose their job. People have lost their jobs, and a large number of members, those branches in certain regions having been closed, members in those areas are going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
How is it, or what was the consultation process in terms of making this call as part of a wider organisation? Because those are the people that will be affected.
Yeah, and these decisions have been huge, and the whole board has had many, many sleepless nights over this. But we are all about our young people, and financial pressures are huge. But the other part that we've been discovering this year is that our actual way in which we deliver our services to young people is no longer ideal. One of the big things we have is, out in those regions, we have a lone youth worker providing all of the support, enabling those young people, doing fundraising, doing all of that. And from a health and safety point of view, having lone workers by themselves, particularly with such a hard ask about supporting people with cancer, young people with cancer, that's huge, right? We've got all these youth workers out there doing that by themselves. And that's just not good practice for us to do that.
Have you asked them, though? Have you asked them?
It's not about members. It's about the youth workers.
That's what I mean.
And our obligations under the Health and Safety at Work Act. You look at that, and we're obliged to provide, under that Act, to provide a whole lot of wraparound lone workers. That wraparound was just not sufficient around our lone workers, and we just did not have the resources to be able to do that wraparound. And so that was one of the things that was sitting in our minds. The second thing is the financial pressures meant we had to move quite fast. And so we have to think about the talking to our staff first and alerting them that there is a problem. And we had to be, and while I understand completely about the young people, to go out to young people and ask them about what service we should be delivering to the staff when we already knew that we can't afford that was going to make it very difficult. And it would also mean that we had to balance our employment responsibilities around giving our staff notice. If we didn't go to our staff and say, hey, we've got real issues around our ability to be able to long-term employ you, and we're thinking we have to do a restructure. If we hadn't gone to our staff first, if we'd gone out to members or somebody first, then quite rightly our staff could have said, hey, if you're talking about cutting down staff, you should be talking to us first. And we did. We had to talk to them first. The time frame, though, meant that we did not get to talk to members as quickly as possible. And the second thing around that is, literally, we have no way in Canteen to talk to our members en masse, because most of the way we communicate with members is in closed Facebook groups that are run around the country, and there's no national database around it. There's no national database of families. So it's not like we could suddenly go out to all of these young people or go out to all of the families and say, what do you think about this? There wasn't that information. It's just not there. That system is just not there.
Will you be moving into that kind of system? I know you're proposing a shift to more online sort of support and presence, something that actually some people are quite concerned about, because actually in the sort of physical mental state that these young people are in, online is probably not the best place to do that.
And if all we were offering is online, then that would be a valid concern, but we're not. What we're doing is, we know we can't afford, and you've got to remember too that our youth workers were only in 8 regional locations. There is a whole heap of New Zealand that we have not been working with young people in. So what we are doing is we're partnering with Canteen Australia, because they have a highly successful online model where they can provide peer support for young people to connect with other young people and provide online counselling. Now, that's not to say that we're going to move to that completely. It's that, hey, if we bring that in, and they've been really generous in helping us move into that model, bring that in, that now means that, one, we can go actually much wider than we've ever gone before with some sort of service. And then what happens is that people can go online and they can register online and they can do online counselling if that suits them. They can register online and they can access the peer community if that suits them. For those of you who don't, for those young people who don't want to do that, or they have been referred to us through other health agencies because they have different needs that wouldn't be met by online counselling, we're going to have 3 hubs in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. They're hubs where we can provide the right wraparound support for all our workers and the professional training, the professional support they need. And out of those hubs, those youth workers will then, and social workers can then go out and work with the young people who need work face-to-face. Now, not all young people do. Some do, and we'll have people who will go out to those places. And for some young people, they need support and they contact Canteen, but actually the support that they need is better provided by another agency that specialises in that. For example, if they've got serious mental health issues, which is separate or is being exacerbated by Canteen, then we should be working with, for example, Youthline and Canteen working together to wrap around that person, not Canteen suddenly taking over Youthline's ability to be able to work with that. So what our model, one, it's driven absolutely by financial pressure. The second is driven by safety of our staff. And the third is recognising that we need to work with other charities and other agencies to better wrap around people and not just try and provide it all to ourselves. So we're partnering with a whole lot of other agencies so that we can do this a whole lot better. And then we have those 3 hubs so that we can get out to those people who actually need us face-to-face.
One of the stories that I did hear was that it was, in fact, that the youth worker was there and available and continuously made themselves present, which led to the young person, you know, engaging with the service. Won't that be affected if it's up to the member to reach out first?
Yes, it will. But the reality is we can't pay them. You know, I mean, nobody's pretending that we're going to have all of the staff that we should have out there. We don't. We haven't got the money. We've been doing that for years, providing those people when we really didn't have the ability to be able to do that in a long-term manner. So we're looking at it, and you know, everything about this is really tough. I get that. But we don't have a magic wand. We can't keep asking people to work out in those regions and not pay them. So we literally don't have the money to do that.
Is this part of a bigger issue then in terms of the way that these organisations are actually funded in this country?
Yeah, like, you know, in New Zealand, we provide huge amounts of our social services through charities, a lot more than some other countries do. And for that reason, you know, and we also have the total amount of funding dollars is not moving much. And so we have increased need, increased social service requirements, a whole lot of charities competing for money, resources, volunteers. And so we're not the only charity that's been cutting back from regions or been cutting down services. Lots of charities have. It's just that we've done it really fast because we've realised with this new board and we started looking at things, we've realised we had to move fast. But we are not the Lone Ranger in pulling out of regions or pulling back services that you can't afford.
This has come up, the kind of comparison between Canteen New Zealand and Canteen Australia, and the fact that they are different and that we exist in a different context here, one with, for example, obligations to Te Tiriti or Waitangi, that sort of thing. How will that obligation continue and that commitment continue when we're following a model from another country?
So what we are doing is we are partnering with Canteen Australia so that they can, and they're providing some really important back office support for us because it's really hard to get funding for in New Zealand. So they're providing a lot of that back office support and a lot of expertise. They're also giving us access to that online platform, which is fantastic because there's no way that most charities in New Zealand can afford to create that ourselves. So that's a great way of us partnering. There's also a lot of stuff that they do that we can leverage off for our young people, and there's a lot of stuff that we do that their young people can leverage off. So there's some programs that we run in New Zealand that they really like. And so by us working, we have the same target group of people. Now, the online counselling, for example, Canteen Australia are really keen to support and work effectively with us here in New Zealand. So the online counselling, initially that's going to be run with the online counsellors based out of Australia. So we've got people going over there to teach them, how do you work with Maori and Pacifica? How do you work with New Zealand youth? So that they're getting training in that. We will hopefully in the new year have some New Zealand-based counsellors on that line, but it will always be a partnership scenario. Then we're also going to be looking at how do we Canteen is still Canteen New Zealand. We are still running ourselves as Canteen New Zealand. They are providing management support for us, and we're also working together in partnership on how we can best deliver programs. This is not Canteen coming over and saying, let's run the Australian model in New Zealand.
Right.
This is our sister organisation helping us out in really dire need. And it's actually what we should all be doing so much better as charities is working in partnership. What do you do that's good? What do we do that's good? How do we do this together? And it's smart.
Did the board consider going to other organisations here in New Zealand as well?
Yes, we did. Yep. And the thing that we looked at is just who, just from a viability point of view, and really thinking about what is it that is core to our young people. And one of the big defining things about Canteen New Zealand is that, for example, on our governance model, half of the board are young people, are members. We have a really strong leadership and youth development program. It's really important to us that that is kept. So we needed to find an organisation who really would honour and understand that young people need to have a strong say in how Canteen New Zealand is run. So when you go and partner with other organisations, there's always these cultures that bash into each other because every organisation has a different culture. Mm. So they bash into each other. And so what we looked for is one, who had the financial capability, two, who had the programs and resources that could help us, three, Canteen had the online platform, which we don't have. And when you think about it, a lot of our young people want to access online. I get that not all do, but a lot do, and for a youth organisation not to have a strong online platform is kind of a mismatch. They already had that, and none of the other agencies that we could speak to had that in that form. We also needed to think about, would this partner organisation be able to work with us to ensure that that young voice still held? And that's how Canteen Australia works already. We've also had some of our young people go across to some of their conferences and have been really thrilled with how they are doing things over there. And so we looked at other avenues, and this is where we got to as the best fit for Canteen.
There's been talk that a prominent cancer organisation approached you with an offer. Is that correct?
No. I know. I've actually been in contact with them to find out what, because they don't know anything about it. They contacted us and said, we've never done that. So there is no prominent cancer society that has made us an offer. Child Cancer Foundation, we talked to them, and Canteen originally came out of Child Cancer Foundation. We grew out of them. So we had conversations with them, and CCF were absolutely committed to make sure that Canteen did not fall, that they would save us. So they were definitely in the picture when we were talking to them. But in the end, we decided to go with Canteen Australia because it has those services that match what we're looking for.
In terms of this transition period, will there be support networks or support people that members can, at this moment, up until that transition period is over, they can reach out to? Will they have support?
Yeah, we still have the hubs. So we still have people based in the Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch hubs. The online platform came online last Wednesday, so they can now access that if they wish. And the youth workers that are leaving, we are gathering all of the information that they have about their young people and their particular needs, and then working out what's the right way to support them moving forward. We're absolutely going to make sure that we don't drop people. If we know about them, then we will do our very best to be able to wrap around them the right way.
I want to note here that I received information confirming a prominent organisation had indeed reached out to Canteen without receiving a reply. Carol clarified, saying, "I don't know of any other offer from a prominent organisation. If an offer has come to Canteen, it didn't come to me, and I and the CEO have not been told about it. I am aware that some people are saying the Cancer Society of New Zealand have made us an offer. I have been in contact with them, and they do not know of any such offer, and neither do I." The other side of the story are those affected by the decision. Staff who have lost their jobs. Staff whose names I've seen written by members that are devastated by the decision. Devastated at the thought of losing contact with these very people. I reached out to some of those staff members, but none who are still working with the organisation wanted to go on record, citing possible legal consequences. Though, one did have this to say.
While we share a name with Canteen Australia, our models of working are very different. We must avoid being clinical and remain a New Zealand organisation. Canteen Australia holds no responsibility to any codes of cultural competence, unlike Aotearoa, where we work alongside Te Tiriti o Waitangi and models such as Te Whare Tapawha.
This is similar to what Kelly Skedden Tainui, former youth support coordinator and sole employee for the Taranaki branch, had told Stuff. What was communicated to me was the Te Ara Taiohi Code of Ethics when it came to youth workers that outlines their role. It reads as follows. Youth work is the development of a relationship between a youth worker and a young person through connecting with young people, where young people are empowered, including the choice to engage for as long as agreed, and that supports their holistic positive development as rangatahi that contribute to themselves, their whānau, community and world. I also understood that during the consultation period, a collective agreement was put on the table by staff outlining why the split in roles should not occur and giving their own suggestions, which are 1. To keep the youth support coordinator roles and not split to the proposed psychosocial social worker and youth worker program officer. 2. To retain one current manager until the appointment of the team leader role. The document then goes into detail to explain those two suggestions and why the current proposal is not viable. Reasons against splitting the roles range from isolation, workload, staff ratios, divide in staff to New Zealand's culture. Reasons given for retaining staff cited the organisational knowledge current staff already have, member relationships and engagement, leadership, community relationships with funders and supporters, and a more staggered transitional process was suggested. 2 weeks later, the decision was announced to continue with the proposal. Beyond the workers, it will be the members themselves who are affected, the young people the organisation exists to support. I managed to speak with one who has organised a Save Canteen New Zealand Facebook page. Mackay Carroll is 23 and joined Canteen when he was 13 years old. Mackay has been part of the organisation for the past 10 years. He is one of the members who has a sibling that was diagnosed with cancer. Mackay explains.
Canteen is split in between four different categories. So you can become a member if you're a patient yourself, if you're a sibling of a patient, or if you're a bereaved sibling. And most recently, they've brought in offspring. So if one of your parents were to pass away from cancer, they're there to support you. So I was a sibling member and still am a sibling member in Canteen.
And you've been part of it for 10 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a massive time. And it's in the time I've had just such significant growth in myself due to Canteen and the support I've had and the ability for me to be able to be myself and embrace others. It has absolutely changed my life.
So this really becomes a lifelong relationship that you have with these people.
Yeah. Well, so I'm heavily active at the moment with what's going on, for the last kind of year, I have been just in the background of Canteen. I don't really engage too much in the activities and things because I feel like I've had my dash. However, when something like this comes along and the board decides to strip away all the support in all the regions, you've got to stand up, and you've got to stand up for the future of Canteen and the future members.
Well, could you just go into that in a bit more detail in terms of what is happening?
So last Monday, the board called an AGM and we all went there and they told us that each region, except for Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, were going to be closing that Thursday. So 3 days warning, and that's the likes of Rotorua, Tauranga, Gisborne, the Manawatu, Taranaki, Nelson, Invercargill, Dunedin, a number of regions, Napier, Hastings, were all closing. And that was within 3 days, the branch was shut. And there was no notice. Canteen's going through a lot of financial hardship. And I don't deny that change needs to happen. That's not the case of, I guess, us approaching you. The fact of the matter is that the change that they've put into place isn't going to benefit our members. And they didn't go to any other organisations apart from CCF, which is Child Cancer Foundation, and Canteen Australia. Now, they've gone with Canteen Australia, and that model is very unique, and I think it suits Australia, but New Zealand has a lot of like low socioeconomic families that can't afford online support because they don't necessarily have internet. There's a lot more personal contact that is required to really build relationships with our members.
It seemed that this was sort of presented to you quite suddenly. Was there any consultation with members or other workers?
No, there was nothing. This was quite literally, this is happening and it's happening in 3 days. There was no warning. There was a warning of notice of possible changes and restructure, which you can accept. I can accept that, yes, change needs to happen and people might lose their jobs, but to really, I guess, draw out all of the support from the regions that have the highest diagnosis rates, such as Northland, East Cape and Southland. All three of those have one of the highest diagnosis rates of teenagers with cancer in the country, and they're not getting any support. So there's no one there to help coach them through what is otherwise jargon.
Could you give me some more sort of specific examples of things that Canteen has done to support you and your family?
So my sister had leukemia when she was younger, and this was when I wasn't born yet. However, with cancer, a lot of people don't realise that cancer is lifelong in itself. There's always going to be side effects and late effects that particularly children have to deal with. So when you dose with chemotherapy at such a young age, that no wonder that it does have an impact on your mental development and growth. And I think that Canteen and my support worker, Leanne, down here in the East Cape, really helped me to acknowledge that every journey is valid, and dealing with late effects or dealing with, like, in the moment, they're both still very real. And yeah, I think Canteen, you just hear so many stories of your peers that really opens your eyes that you're not alone. And it sounds so cliche, and I think that's the hardest part, is that you can go on about this and how much it changes, but people just kind of think it's cliche. Yeah.
Some of the proposed changes are that the model will move into an online support network, more so than the sort of face-to-face. Well, the fact that there are branches throughout the country which people are able to access, now there will only be the three branches. So, in terms of the online communication, do you think that this will work?
No, not at all. Have you ever heard of like Tukumaru Bay?
Yes.
Rotorua, yeah. Those East Cape, right in the, like, middle of nowhere, essentially, they don't have the access to internet necessarily, or it would be very slow, and getting that support is what they need, being so isolated. And nothing will ever beat a one-on-one with a staff member to really make you feel supported. Online services, while they're great and save costs, that's awesome. I personally wouldn't go into an online chat to discuss my journey with strangers. That's no different to anything else. And I think mental health is a challenge for teenagers dealing with cancer, and they've got other support networks for mental health, but I don't think they're as effective as one-on-one.
Another member wrote to me because she wanted to have a say. Jasmine Dillon was diagnosed with acute lymphoblast leukemia at 16. Here are her words.
The first 6 months of treatment were extremely hard, being prodded and poked with needles and IV lines scarring my skin endlessly. I felt as though I had lost my independence, as I need assistance for almost everything I did. Losing my hair clump by clump, I felt as though I was slowly beginning to lose the battle, especially considering I was stuck in the confinements of the four small hospital walls for weeks on end, truly took its toll on me. I began expressing my emotions through severe sadness and anger. I remember wanting to give up. The treatment was excruciatingly painful. I remember yelling at the nurses, doctors, and family, saying that I just wanted to give up. I was done. It didn't feel worth it. I wanted to die. Within the first month of starting my treatment, I was introduced to a Canteen youth worker. In all honesty, I kept trying to push my youth worker away, but she kept persevering and never gave up on me. But as time went on, I began to trust her, and from that moment, I realized what a blessing in disguise my youth worker, as well as Canteen, was for me. My youth worker introduced me to other cancer patients my age, so I could feel as though I was amongst people who understood what I was going through. Not only that, but my youth worker always made time for me whenever I was having a bad day or needed to get to a destination such as Auckland Canteen Branch when I was unable to. My youth worker always came through. I began to fit quite comfortably in Canteen, as all the youth workers were so friendly and welcoming. I created a relationship with each of the Auckland youth workers, and I felt as though I could talk to any of them when I needed to. Going back to my youth worker, I really couldn't have been more blessed to have been assigned with her. As time went on, she would take me on outings if I ever felt sad or alone, where we would talk about other things apart from cancer. I found that I truly could trust her with anything, and I did. This year, I found myself falling back into a dark place, and my youth worker caught on to this, as she always checks in with me through text or call, even until today. I don't know many people who would go out of their way to do this for me. Truthfully, at one point in my treatment, all my friends and I lost contact. The only people who I could count on were my family and youth workers from Canteen. My youth worker became my friend, who never left no stone unturned to help me feel better than what I was feeling in those dreadful moments. One of the biggest eye-opening events I ever went on was a Canteen camp called Real. For months on end, I kept complaining, saying I would not go. My youth worker kept at it, never giving up on me, which turned out to be one of the best events I could have ever been a part of. REAL is a 3-day and 2-night camp that people from around different parts of the country can join together. It's not all necessarily patients. These are siblings and bereaved members. And together, all canteen members are put through exercises that help us express and speak up about what happened to each of us. Mindfulness plays a big part on this trip, and I could describe it as almost a meditation camp that helps heal the mentally wounded part of us. By the end of the trip, I did not want to leave. I made many friends and I learned so much about myself. When I got back, I was ever so grateful to my youth worker for putting my name down, despite not wanting to go in the first place. Being able to have face-to-face, one-on-one conversation with my youth worker helped me learn to express and find myself through cancer. Face-to-face conversations is something that online facility cannot create. I'm disappointed at what the board have done. As a living example of canteen support, I can see how clearly this new structure, which involves the reduction of youth workers, will affect new cancer members. To put it straight, canteen members will suffer without the support of one-on-one youth workers. I understand that the world is changing and evolving to become a technological era, but technology cannot solve every problem or dilemma we face. Teenagers do not want to sit in front of a screen to get support. It's a stupid and rather selfish decision that the board have made to make youth workers become redundant. How can we expect teenagers that are on the brink of giving up to go and sit in front of a computer screen? I sure as hell know if I was in that headspace, the first thing on my mind would not be, oh, maybe the canteen website can help me. No, that will not work. How can the board think that online chats and audio messages will help canteen members? It's really insensitive what the board have done. The whole reason canteen worked was because of the youth workers. To turf them out seems like a stupid and uneducated decision. Canteen needs the current youth workers. We have made relationships with them. I do not want to have a relationship with a computer more than I already do. If there is no change to making our specific youth workers come back to canteen, I can guarantee more than half of the canteen members will leave when our youth workers do. I know my family well. The youth workers made canteen the place it is today.
Financially, canteen is in a dire situation and very difficult decisions had to be made. This would not have been easy for the board. But the response to this decision is also not an easy one. It is one where families see a possible gap in support that canteen was able to fill up until now. A gap that meant young people facing cancer who were also contemplating suicide were given another choice, a different opportunity. The possibility that that support may disappear or may change its form is a frightening one. Perhaps this is a very real wake-up call as to how we engage with our social services in this country and what exactly we expect in terms of support and where that support comes from for very real issues. Issues that are in fact life and death.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.